The song is called Holy God, We Praise Your Name, and as noted there at the bottom of the page, that song is based on a 4th century lyric. It was like 1,700 years ago. And really, that song is echoing something that was seen by Isaiah maybe 1,000 years even before that, in the year that King Uzziah died. And if you return with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6, we can resume our look at the holy throne room scene. If you were here, we were at verses 1 through 7 last week. If you were retreating, then you missed it. But maybe you've sung holy, 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 or maybe you've sung Holy God, We Praise Your Name, and you say, yes, I remember that chorus. I remember the seraphs shouting, singing, whatever they sounded like, and then the woe is me from the prophet. Well, this is the pickup. Picking up in verse 8, and we hear the voice of the Lord now. He's saying something, and it involves, well, ascending and a particular saying. It turns out to be a very hard saying. Are you ready for a hard saying? Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 through 13, hear the word of the Lord. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me. And he said, go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and be healed. Then I said, how long, O Lord? And he said, until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste. And the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. Let's pray together. Lord, through your word this day and by your spirit, open our eyes and open our ears and our hearts to receive good news from you as revealed in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right, having heard those verses, now what do you expect to hear? What do you expect to hear? Maybe I could ask, what do you want to hear? What do you need to hear? I'd be very interested in those kinds of questions. If this was Sunday school, I could write your expectations on the board, and I'd see if we get to those. A few things might come to mind, like, wait, isn't this a passage that's used for missions? You know, sending people, going places, getting sent. Here am I, send me. You've heard that one. And some of you might think, yeah, there's that, and isn't this a passage used for sermons on vocation, calling, where God calls you to a particular service? What's he calling me to do? Is that why the passage is in the Bible? Now, we've had teaching on missions and vocation, so I'm not against that. But what if, the sermon today does not focus on those matters? What if it starts to sound a little more grim? As though God really did say something about making people dull and blind. You say, well, how could that be? Doesn't that sound off? Or odd, at least. Turns out quite a bit is written about this passage quite a bit. And if some of this seems academic, I won't say I'm sorry. It's just this is the kind of struggle. This is in the hard saying category, if you couldn't tell. There is a call here, that's for sure. It's a call from the Holy, Holy, Holy One, verses 1 through 7. It's a call to the woeful prophet who just said, woe is me. And also, it's somehow related to this woeful people, if you've been following the flow of the prophecy. And I think along the way, instead of giving you alliteration with particular letters to listen for, I'm going to give you a subtle transition point that has to do with a more phone call, picking up a call or a text. Because here's the text. It's a pretty long text. If you got a text like this, you say, whoa. Or a call like this, if the Lord himself, you heard this voice saying this to you, so the Holy One's calling me, that's the sermon title today. When the Holy One calls, then what? Then what? Do you pick up? Do you hear? Do you understand? Let's listen in to this particular call from the Holy One. We'll start by looking at a positive ID on the phone. Some of you have caller ID. How would the prophet know this was the Holy One? And we've already seen some presets. He's clearly talking to the Holy One. We've got sights and sounds presented in the verses just before this. Remember, we have sounds of angels calling out, doorposts, thresholds. There's, you know, smoke. So there's sights and sounds. And the Lord seated on the throne. Did Isaiah somehow see Jesus? What did he see? There's a call here with sights and sounds, with numbers and words, and there's a voice. Are you open to hear this voice? Whose is it? Well, continuing on here, it appears to be the Holy One. We've sung of the Trinity last week, holy, 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 and here the Holy Lord, we sang 2 moments ago, asking the question, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? It's like God's talking to himself. And the result is what? Well, we've seen some ruin, and now a calling. There's some deep history here, but we don't want to lose sight of the context. The prophet has entered the throne room, and it's quite dramatic. And he's full of woe, and he receives pardon in the picture of that coal, if you were here. And he answers the call here, and he answers it accordingly. If you get a phone call and you see that it's a friend, you might say, yo. That might be a response. Maybe you don't talk like that. Maybe you're not that hip. Or maybe if it's your brother, you say, bro. Maybe if it's Joe, you say, Joe. Hey, Joe, if it's your boss, you say, yes, sir. If it's your wife, you say, honey, or beautiful one. And if you don't recognize the number, maybe you don't pick it up. Could be a scammer. Maybe you do pick it up and you say, to whom am I speaking? We answer accordingly. And when the one who's calling is God, what's the proper response? It will be humility. We've already seen that in the prophet. He is ruined. That's the context, verses 1 through 5. And then he's grateful, really, in verses 6 and 7, if you glance at that. He's just been declared not guilty by God. That's good news. And there's something spontaneous and quite willing that flows out of that call. He's ready, maybe even eager. Does this sound enthusiastic? Here's the proper response. It is, here am I. That's the first part. Here am I. I had a Hebrew professor. I guess he was raised taking Hebrew as a kid. And this would be the word they use. Hineni. That's the Hebrew word. Hineni, which means present. He liked to act that out. Hineni. Send me. Hineni. Here am I, send me. And the picture here is, you could paraphrase it this way, Here I am. Would I do? Would I do? I mean, sometimes we could read that and say it's some sort of bold response. Here am I. Send me. And then you. Remember, he is woeful. He's picking up a call from the Holy One. Will I do? Or at your service, your majesty, what would you have me do? What's your pleasure? What's your purpose? So what is the purpose of the call? If you've ID'd the caller, you've answered accordingly. Here I am. Send me. What is the purpose of the call? This is the longest point, and I'll try to make it not as long as it could be. The purpose of the call, I'll summarize this way. We have the passage, and it's a passage that's regarding this people. I actually read this with the teens on Wednesday night. That's the drill. When we meet, I read the passage I'll be preaching on Sunday, and they get asked questions. So one of the questions that came out, who are this people? Who are the people Isaiah is writing to? Good question. Let's see if we can get to some of that, because we didn't get to it on Wednesday. And it's connecting this people with other passages, which I do want us to look at. This will be one of those unusual Sundays where I invite you to turn to other places. We usually stay in one, so we'll leave Isaiah, come back. But as you'll see, we're not really leaving Isaiah, because it turns out this passage is quoted at least a half dozen times in the New Testament, which is very helpful for our understanding of it. The purpose, in short, is to go to a hard audience with a hard word. That's the purpose. To go to a hard audience, this people, to tell them this hard, you could even say a hardening word. Look at me again at verses 9 and 10. And he said, go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on hearing, but do not perceive. Verse 10, make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Wouldn't that be exactly the purpose? To get healed? Go and tell. Hard word. Hardening word. There's some heart history here of this people. And the quotes that I mentioned, when these verses get cited in the New Testament, they're all revealing how Jesus gets rejected. That's not coincidental. It is connected. And here it is, the problem of unbelief, the spiritual blindness that's on display. So here's a very specific calling to Isaiah. He's called to preach to rebels. I want you to go to this people. Who are these people? These are the ones who just don't know how to hear. They have a strong, long history of unbelief. And Isaiah, I want you to stay true to the calling. I want you to give this hard word to this hard-hearted people, because this is going to reveal God's justice in his time. It's going to fill up his purpose. And that's what we're looking at. What's the purpose of the call? It's an age-old task of prophets, centuries of rebellion. I won't have you turn to these right away, but let's just say 1500 BC-ish, we have Moses, and he's writing in Deuteronomy. Moses summoned all the Israelites and said to them, your eyes have seen all that the Lord did in Egypt to Pharaoh, to all his officials, and to all his land. With your own eyes, you saw those great trials, those miraculous signs and great wonders. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear. Remember these wilderness wanderers, if you know the storyline and the grumblings, and overt idolatry, that's this people. They saw everything the Lord did. The Exodus, they didn't grab hold. And then we could fast forward here to Isaiah's day. Unbelief, hypocrisy. If you've been with us for the first five chapters, there's rebellion, hardening of hearts. Very clear. And the prophet is walking into this people. Jesus also. In the Gospels, all the Gospels. If you want to look with me at one of them, turn with me to John chapter 12. We will plan to get back to Isaiah. John chapter 12. All four Gospels quote from our text and call today. John 12, verse 37, and right before that. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them, verse 37. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Here's one of them. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Verse 39. Therefore, they could not believe. For again, Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Verse 41, Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Okay, so this is Jesus quoting Isaiah, and he understands what's going on here. We'll get back to another gospel passage, but let's fast forward a little bit. Turn to me to the end of Acts, Acts chapter 28. This isn't razzle-dazzle. This is necessary to see this. Acts 28. I'll pick up in verse 23. When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in, this is Paul, in greater numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. Verse 25. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Verse 28. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. Mark chapter 4. Turn with me there. Years ago, we have heard a sermon on what you find in front of you. It's called the parable of the sower, parable of the soils. Maybe you know that one. Different kinds of soils. And right in the center here, I want us to hear the quote in that context, because that's where Jesus puts it. After talking about the parable, we hear this, the purpose of parables, verse 10, Mark 4. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, listen, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Lest they should turn and be... That sounds like another hard word. Jesus is making a very sharp distinction here between those to whom the kingdom of God is revealed. Remember, parables are kingdom stories. They reveal secrets to those who are able to see them, and it conceals some. This is what parables do. It reveals and conceals. Hidden by God, like a secret. You say, wait, that doesn't sound right. This continues to be a difficult word, maybe disturbing for many today. We listen to the words again, and it sure sounds like this is purposeful. Remember, we're looking at the purpose of the call. Do you think Jesus is helping to explain it here? And this can land like a ton of bricks. I understand some people today try desperately to get around these words. Say, he's not really saying, that's not God's purpose to conceal anything. That's not my God, people say. That wouldn't be fair. Isn't everyone entitled to God's secrets? I could turn this on you or myself. Are you entitled to my secrets? I might have secrets. Do I owe you my secrets? I do not. You do not owe me your secrets. So why does God owe everyone his secrets? There's something here that deliberately, purposefully, is concealed. Why? Remember, there's a problem of spiritual blindness that's already set in front of all these generations, and Isaiah is called to preach to these people. Knowingly, these people aren't going to get it. Stick with the task. Spiritual blindness, and this is still around today. Kingdom of God. You know that the kingdom of God, just so you know, the kingdom of God is not about earthly power. You knew that, right? The kingdom of God to this day is not about who's in office. It's just not. What's the prophet saying here? Old Testament believers, sinful people, this people, is there really a glorious kingdom? What is this mystery? How is this prophecy fulfilled? Jesus shows up on the scene, and it turns out, and this is where we're going with this, no surprise here, it turns out this prophecy is going to reveal Jesus to those who are given the eyes to see him. Jesus is in the process right here as the sower, sowing the kingdom word. This is the truth about God's kingdom. And he's the sower of the word. And in his midst are people, this people, that still refuse to see him. Remember, they want to kill him. Mark's gospel, this is chapter 4. They're already on record as saying, we need to kill this guy. And effectively what's happening here is now time. It's now time for judgment to land on this people for their unbelief. Judgment. There are covenant curses for unbelief. There are covenant blessings for belief. And Jesus is explaining here in these parables. He gets his own, he calls them aside as we just heard, and they don't even know what the purpose of this is. And he tells them, the king is calling you to hear, and you have been given the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the hearts able to understand. But for others, it will remain this disturbing enigma. Hear ye, the king effectively saying, the secret of the kingdom has been given to you. This is another reminder of grace. We talked about answering the call accordingly with humility and gratitude and willingness. If you understand that you've been given the eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that understand who Jesus is, it's a blessing, it's a gift. It's been given to you by the Holy Spirit. Jesus sows the word. He gives the secret of the kingdom, and he summons his people to himself. Part of the editing process for today included, I was thinking, this is the problem of these kinds of things. The hard words have so much to sort out. In my mind, it's like Jenga. You you have this structure of a presentation, an argument, and if I take out too much, you think, I don't understand anything. I don't want that to be the reality. I do want you to see that there's the significance of kingdom come. Part of the editing process in the restraint, I did, back in the day, I did write like a 30-page paper on, it's called The Significance of Kingdom Come. Connecting Isaiah's vision and vocation with the coming cross, kingdom, and call of Christ. And the text was Isaiah 6, 9 through 10, and Mark 4, 12. To connect all that, I got on a post-it. This is my summary, pretty much, of the 30 pages. What could I have to say here? We've covered a lot of it already. You need to enter the kingdom of God. You need to trust the king. John's already pointed this out. People are rejecting Jesus and his gospel account. You need to get cleansed. You need to receive the call. You need to get going what the Lord's called you to do. Here's Isaiah's called. You need to confound people. You need to conceal stuff. You need to close senses. Here's your commission. Go do that. Make hearts fat, literally. Make them heavy in their ears, clouded in their eyes, to reveal their rejection of God's king, really to indict them. It's quite a calling, and there's consequence that comes with it. What's so clear, for if you can see it, if you want to see it, is the need for a new heart, the need for ears that can open up. You know, there are people in this room right now, may have been raised in the church. There certainly were in this people then. How about this people today? Covenant people gathered. They hear the word for years, blah, blah, blah. Might not be blah, blah, blah. Might think, huh. But if you don't have an openness and the Holy Spirit brings you to life, then you are in this judgment scene. The kingdom call, quoted by Jesus. Here's the parable. King Jesus is sowing the word. And he comes to fill up the ministry of Isaiah the prophet. In effect, with this hardening word, saying to this people, your time is up. The old has got to go away. Why? Because I'm here. I'm the king. This is a kingdom parable. This people, it's judgment time. The new has come. The old has got to go. God's king had come. And the days of old covenant breaking had run their course, and the final phase of the old covenant lawsuit has arrived, and judgment awaits this people. They will be taken away. And in the story that God's telling in Isaiah's time, they got taken away. Physically, it's time to usher in the new as Jesus speaks of the kingdom. Judgment at hand, significantly, the time of God's kingdom was at hand. This is how Mark's gospel starts when Jesus shows up and says, what do you say? Remember this? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And then he tells what we think of as stories, but the stories aren't just stories with morals. They're stories that reveal and conceal and even point to judgment. And part of the fruit we see, as Paul lays it out at the end of Acts, as we just heard, is this word is going to the Gentiles. They will listen. You know why you're here today? Because the gospel went to the Gentiles. The Spirit was poured out, and the nations come to him. That's what we see. The call is made. We say, ah, it's the Holy One. We answer humbly and gratefully and willingly. Here am I. And then we discern the purpose of the call. It is a hard word that the prophet gives to a hard people. Hard hearts. We need to carry out the calling of the call. We need to tell the truth to this people. We need to paint the picture of the consequences, which in this setting are covenant breakers. Remember, in the promises God makes, there is blessing for obedience. There are curses for disobedience, for unbelief. And until judgment is complete, That's really the answer to the question here. How long? See that? Verse 11. Then I said, this is part of his commission, how long, O Lord? And he said, see this, verse 11, until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. Ouch. That's a scene of exile. It's a scene of judgment. How long? Until then. Until the judgment's complete, that's how long. Until the promises are filled up. Here's the Lord's plan to visit the rebels with reckoning, to bring an end to the old, to bring in the new, by way of what? By way of God's King coming to his people with this word of his kingdom. It includes judgment and curses, and it includes a call to come. That's why we need to trust the call will end well for the called. This is the final point. Trust that the call will end well for the called. Look with me at the last verse. Verse 13. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again. Like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. Another picture given in the call. Again, weighty matters. The holy seed is the stump. In short, here is this hard word ending with a word of hope. I hope you picked up on it. Say, how so? What's going on here? Well, again, quickly it turns out. I'll say it this way. Jesus fills up the meaning of Isaiah's ministry, for one, and his message. Jesus does. The New Testament's been spelling this out as we looked at some passages, the Gospels and in Acts. And while it's not painfully self-evident, maybe it is for you, verse 13, it's clear. There's lots of devastation. You see that. But it's not total. Do you see that? There's lots of waste, but then you got a tenth remaining, and then that's burned again. But then there's this stump. There's something living in the ashes. Something emerging from the heap, a stump is going to produce something. It's been cut down, so you can picture a stump, maybe with charred remains, plant life, a tree, yielding a seed, a holy seed, in fact. You see that? The holy seed is its stump. You just heard holy, holy, holy. The Holy One gives this call. We hear of a holy seed, and it points to new life in the land. There's new life in the land. For this scene, how could that be? What's the Lord going to do? And of course, the seed represents Jesus. I think you know that. Again, it seems like the pastor has his clever ways of getting to. This is the prophet's way. This is the Lord's way. He is revealed right here. Yahweh is salvation. Here's Yahweh. It's the Lord. It's the Savior. And Isaiah uses the word seed in other ways too. It refers to the people that way, the remnant, the survivors. But the big picture here, if you know the storyline, remember God's telling one story. There's the seed in Genesis 3 that needs to crush the serpent's head. There's the seed of Abraham who turns out to have something to do with this people. And then you have the seed in Isaiah 11, the coming out of the stump of Jesse. And at Christmas time, we like to read about, that's Jesus. Merry Christmas. That's the same story. Here's the seed, the offspring, the shoot from the stump. Messiah. He comes. There's a day when he comes and judgment is poured out. Where? You know this, right? The judgment is poured out on Jesus for his people. For this people in unbelief, the judgment lands on them. But the seed comes in the flesh, taking on flesh so that he could obey in the flesh, die in the flesh on a cross as payment for sin. Remember the atonement from verse 7? Your sins are atoned for. How does this even happen? The seed comes as promised and saves his people. And we are the heirs of that promise. We've been made holy. We've been declared not guilty. We've been given this full pardon. And in Isaiah chapter 6, what have we seen? We see a prophet receiving pardon from the Holy One, verses 1 through 7. Then he's commissioned to carry out a hard word to hard-hearted people until justice and mercy is revealed in the coming of the Son, Jesus. The question really goes out, are you seeing, are you hearing, are you understanding? Because the story always points to Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, give everyone here today eyes and ears and hearts able and desiring to see and hear and receive Jesus as King, as Yahweh, as Savior, for the joy of your people and for the glory of his name. Amen.